The title of today's shiur is I'm not Sfardi yet, but I have potential.
I'm not Sfardi yet, but I have potential.
Today's Rav Avadya. Rav Avadya. Money Monday, how to spend your money on good Sfardi to have in the house. Today is, like I said, I'm not Sfardi yet, but I have potential. Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal changed the entire world. You can't imagine. Complete revolution. From the time I was your age to the time now, revolution, different universe. The godless, the gaonus. So this biography is fabulous. You should have this and you should read it. Read this book. If you know Hebrew well, the best biography on Rav Avadya, so far there are two volumes. It's called Abir HaRoim. And that's what this biography, the best stories come from that one in Hebrew. The first volume covered the first 30 years of his life. The second volume covered the next 7 years. That's 37. So there might be another 8 volumes. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. But if you know Hebrew well, get that. Fabulous. I'm sitting there. I'm reading the stories he tells and the inside. It's one of his grandsons. He's become like the official biographer type person. And again, Rav Avadya's godless. It's impossible for us to be masig it. It's just impossible. But the stories he tells, and they have these pictures when he was a kid. They have his notebooks when he was 11. They have pictures of his notebooks here. This is a book he got when he was 9. And it says, he said over a couple of prakim Gemara Baal Peh, and Rabbanim gave him this book, so he wrote a little inscription in the sefer they found in his library. And they have Kedushim he wrote when he was 11, and he was writing Kedushim on the it's
hard to.
It's something which just doesn't make sense. Here. This is Rabbi's Chumash notes. His Chumash notes when he was 13. Check this out here. This is when he was. Now look at this. This is when he was in his early teens. He liked to draw. So he would draw color. This is color. He would draw color like sha'arim for his notebooks. Because he was a kid. He was a regular kid who was 11 and 12 and liked to color. And beautiful pictures here with animals and this. His Chedushim on Chumash, Chedushim on Shas. Here, he wrote a perush here when he was 16, a perush on davening. 13, 14, 15. Here is a teenager, and he's listing a certain phrase, and he's 15 here, and he has a phrase here, a certain phrase that's mentioned 51 times in Shas, in 27 Maseches he lists them. Okay, Rav Avadya was different. Okay, so again, the godless Kol HaTorah Kula at such a young age, and this, and then of course he learned all the Rishonim and Achronim, all the tshuvas. He knew everything about Peh. Okay, then he started writing. So we discussed already as follows. He wrote a lot of things. He wrote a lot of things. So the first thing he published was Shur Chazon Ovadia, 2 volumes on the Seder, Halacha Tshuvas. In the 50s, when he came back from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, fabulous tshuvas. He quotes everything. Now, his psak is always, his psak leads to the Sfardi psak. But he gives you the whole sugya. Everyone can use his tshuvas. Because even if you're Ashkenazi, and you might not follow the final psak at the end, but he gives you the whole sugya. The classic Rishonim, the famous Kashas, the Terutzim. So, if you want to work on a topic, you want to make a chabur on a topic, if he has a tshuva, you have everything. You got the whole thing there. And it's you can't imagine what you have. It's, you know, just any topic. You know, why is there no bracha? Why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Sipri Tzias Mitzrayim? Famous question. So he has a whole topic on it. He has a whole. And so again, I'm telling you, Ashkenazim can use his svarim all the time. Also, is that clear? Okay. That's Chazon Ovadia. Then he began publishing Yabia Omer. Yabia Omer, 10 volumes so far. They'll probably publish more. We can't be masik. He'll write Uva. He'll quote 200 names. Then he'll say at the end, I don't have so much time, so I had to shorten it. And then he signs off. That's how he writes. And he was a writing machine. How he did it, how he had time. Rav Adya spent a lot of time giving public shiurim all the time. So to imagine that he had time for that and time to write, this which he did, it's hard to understand all the writing he did. They explained that he never wasted a minute. One of the most powerful stories that there are a lot of pictures of Rav Adya wearing, you know, wearing this, you know, when he's learning, wearing this, you know, wearing the what's it called?
The robe.
Wearing the special clothing. Now, when he sat in his base medrash learning, he dressed normally. He put this on just to, like, if there's a bris or something, he had to go somewhere. So all of the pictures of a Rav Adya wearing this learning is when he had like 1 minute before the bris actually started. He learned for that 1 minute. Or he was leaving somewhere, and like the timing was off by 30 seconds. You have to understand it. Okay, he used his time well. He tells stories that, it says in one of the things, normally he didn't sleep on Shabbos because he learned the whole night because he felt Shabbos is so kadosh. He wanted to use it for learning. There are lots and lots of stories, learning came out the night, learning till late at night. Rav Adya liked to learn till late at night. And Rav Yoshe got up at 2 in the morning. So I had my little horror. For like 80 years, one of them was always learning. Think about that. 80 years, like the two of them overlapped, so one of them was always learning. Rav Adya went till past 2:30, then Rav Yoshev kicked in. That was a nice shmira for the generation. Okay, so then Yabi Omer. Yabi Omer, heavy, he takes a topic. The Gemaras, the Rishonim, all the Achronim, all the Tshuvas. He has comments, he has questions. People say, oh, he just lists the names. He doesn't list the names. He lists the names, and he has a comment, a kasha here, a teretz here. He's organized. He has everything organized. It's fabulous. In Yabia Omer, aside from the regular tshuvas, he also comments on other people's tshuvas a lot, especially if they argue on him. If they argue on him, he rips them back, and you have to know, if you're going to argue on Rav Adya, he's gonna hit back in a Torah-tikka way. Okay. Then there's Yechav Adas. When he was Rav Rashi, he gave a Friday question and session on the radio. Tshuvas on the radio. Very, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and he would say over. Those are written up. These are much lighter. If you're not there yet, that you can really learn really well, and Yibi Omer is too hard, Yechav Adas. Yechav Adas is straightforward. It's sort of like Yibi Omer light. Takes a question, quotes the classic poskim, tells you what he thinks, and gives a psak. These were his radio tshuvas. It's a very good way until you're, the goal is to be able to handle Yibi. I have a friend. He's a Dayan. He's a Dayan. My age. He's so humble. I love talking to him. He walks around. He knows everything. And he said, if I was on a desert island, I'd want my tefillin and Yibi Omer. No, he's an Ashkenazi guy. That's what he said, because that's what he'd want. Okay, anyway. That's what he said. Yechav Adas. Yechav Adas is, again, the lighter tshuvas. And again, anyone can use these. For Ashkenazim, the final psak might not be what Ashkenazim follow. Okay, so you have to ask. But as far as presenting the basic sugya, these are fabulous. And one of the best parts of Rav Adya's writing is indexes. They have good indexes. In the back of the Sfarim, there is a chelik of Yabia Omer, which is only an index. So what you have to get, the whole Yabia Omer and get the index. Then you're good to go. So he wrote Yabia Omer and he wrote Yechav Adas. He wrote a set of Sfarim, Hadichos Olam, on Halacha, and then, at the young age of 81, he began publishing Chazon Ovadia on the Yom Tovim. You know what I'm talking about? Chazon Ovadia on the Yom Tovim? There are 15 of them. He has one in every Yom Tov, 5 on Shabbos, 3 on Avelus. He wrote that between I checked the years. He published them between the age of your 81 and 93. Now, a lot of it was written already. He was organizing, but that's incredible. That's incredible. Rav Avigdor Miller, Zatzal, would say, 65 is young. You have a lot to accomplish when you're 65. Yeah, Rav Adya began. In other words, for the average gadol, if you would publish Chazon Ovadia, those 15 volumes, that would be like your life's work. He did that from the age of 81 to 93. Do you understand what I just said? It's like mind-boggling.
What age was he
get to? What?
What was he
When was he? It was Nifter a year ago. No. Guys, he was born in 1920, and he died 2014. So he was 94. He was born in 1920, and he died in. It says here. And he died now. So that's Chazon Ovadia. So that's his writings. Now he has a sefer also. He has Hirota Haggadah. I quoted in my Haggadah several times. Baruch Hashem. And he has Pirkei Avos. He has, and now Chidushim Anshas, they haven't published yet. He had Chidushim Anshas.
Why not?
I don't know. Somehow they haven't been put. That wasn't his main thing. He went to Halacha was his main thing. Eventually they'll publish everything he wrote. You know, he has writings. They found in his bookshelves, he had comments on the sides of all his books, all of them. He was constantly writing. He was always giving shiur, and he was always running around for political, you know, when he was older, rallies for Shas, go vote for Shas, and all that stuff. So I don't know how he did it. He didn't sleep very much. So good. So you have in your house Yabia Omer, Yechav Adas, Shud Chazon Ovadia, and you have Chazon Ovadia. I love using it. Any topic in halacha. What's the din of shofar in this? Look, Chazon Ovadia. He'll give you the whole background. Then the final psak, he'll sometimes say this, and Mishmur says something else. But he gives you the whole story. It's unbelievable. He quotes everything. Never ask a question, does he quote? He quotes everything. Everything. Okay, so that's Rav Ovadia himself. And there are more things, I'm not aware of everything he's published, but those are the classics. Okay, then his kids write. Now, his kids, there are several, one of his kids, Rav David Yosef, is writing a Sephardi Mishnah Berurah. It's called Halacha Berurah. It's a Sephardi Mishnah Berurah. You go through, you learn, it's like learning Mishnah Berurah for Sephardi. And the, for Sephardi means his father's Pesachim at the end. Okay. So people use it. It's a fabulous Sefer. Okay. The main Sefer that is, and that is, that, that'd be nice to have in your house. I don't think you have to have in your house. It's nice to have in your house. That's a good little bonus. Then there's Yalkut Yosef. Now Yalkut Yosef is just beyond. This is Rav Yitzchak Yosef. Rabbi's old. He's now the Rav Rashi. He's written like 30 volumes of this. It's in order of Shulchan Aruch. It's Halacha L'maisa, based on the Shulchan Aruch, poskim, down to whatever his father's psak is. This is a revolution. Let me explain. When I was your age, if you're Sephardi, and I want to, Ashkenazim, we have the Mishnah Berurah. You're Sephardi. I want to learn, I want to know the Halacha, and I want to know, for me, what's the bottom line for me? What's it? Some people use the Ben Ishchai, some... You didn't have it. You didn't have like an organized sefer, daf al daf for the whole Shulchan Aruch. So now we have Yalkut Yosef. There's Yalkut Yosef on everything. They have it on Yeridaya now. They have it on, let's say, Shemitah. Rav Ovadia, we know, was one of the main defenders of the Hetzer Mechira. One of the biggest defenders. People argued on him on that. So there's a sefer on Shemitah, this thick, that his son wrote based on. Rav Ovadia's friend. Oh, Rav Ovadia wrote, Taras Abayas. Two Sfarim and Hilchas Nida. Everything's there. Whatever he writes, everything's there. So that's good to have in your house, too. Yalkut Yosef is fabulous. I have it at home. You guys got it at the Premier once. Fabulous. A, it's good because it's good. Any topic gives you the whole story. B, it's a good way to find things in Rav Ovadia. Let's say Rav Ovadia's in Birchas HaTorah. I don't know where, I can't find it in Yabia Omer. So now I have the index. If you don't have the index, you find, he talks about Rav Ovadia on Birchas HaTorah. He talks about Birchas HaTorah, and then he gives you in the bottom, he quotes Rav Ovadia. So you can use Yalkut Yosef to find backwards Yabia Omer and Yechav Adas. That's Yalkut Yosef. I think he's still writing, still putting them out. Then, so it's good, very good to have this in your house. Then, this is the revolution. Rav Yitzchak Yosef published around 10 years ago something which is incredible. It's a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch for Sephardi. We have a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You want to learn all of Halacha basically, you need to know in a year or two, you learn a page a day, you're done. It takes you 2 years. Sephardim didn't have it. Like a shorthand for Sephardim. So Rav Yitzchak Yosef took his Yalkut Yosef, 30 volumes, scrunched it into 2 volumes, and you can now learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You can't imagine, it's a revolution. When I was your age, Sephardim couldn't do this. Imagine if you didn't have, what would you do? How would you learn Halacha? What are you supposed, This is a revolution. What one person did, you know, with his family. It's an amazing sefer to have around. It's a Shulchan Aruch for Sfardim. And that's also the, what? It's called Yalkut Yosef Tetz Shulchan Aruch. But, you know, it's all the same. Okay. I told you, in the Yalkut Yosef, they have the Shevis Yosef when he responds to people that argue on it. And you have to be careful arguing on the Yosef family. Okay. He's a good Sfarim to have around the house. And like I said, his clarity. You know, first of all, he quotes everything on a topic. And he's clear. Here's what the Gemara says. Here's what the Rishonim say. Here's the famous Kasha against the Rambam. Here are two Terutzim. Here's this. This Posek says this based on that. But there's a famous Kasha on this Posek. Here's the possible answer. I think this might be a better answer. Then so-and-so says this. And Alech L'maisa, I think this. Gives you the whole story, organized, very clear. He had like a golden pen. So you write smoothly. It's like some people, they write like you have to break your teeth to like, what's he saying? And Rav Adya, he writes, it's just smooth. Everything's smooth. Towards the end of his life, like the last 10 years, they had a whole system. Amazing system. He's writing. And there's a guy in the room there who's typing. So he finishes a page, he gives it to the guy to type, his typist. Then he's writing the next page. 5 minutes later, the guy finished typing. He reads it over, makes a correction, boom, ready to go to the next book. It's like unbelievable. In other words, it's from the time he finished writing it till it's ready for the book takes 15 minutes. Like no one does that, but that was the system. He was older, and he was the Gadol Hador, so they had there was a guy in his you know, study based medrash who was his typing. So from the time he finished writing a page until it was ready to publication was 15, 20 minutes. Unbelievable. Is it locked? It shouldn't be locked. Okay, fine. So that's Rav Avadya. And that's how we accomplished this. And they're doing Yalkut Yosef in English also now. They have Yalkut Yosef in English now. I never read them. I don't know how they're solid. I read. Okay, that's another. You know, that's the next level. Anyway, the man changed the entire world. The stories about him are endless. Rav Shai had a good line last year. He said Rav Avadya took responsibility. Something had to be done. He did it. There were shilas of gunas. What made him famous was, after the Yom Kippur War, Lalenu, there were gunas. You know, that their husbands were lost. We're not sure where they were. We assume they're dead. You have to have proof and to pass them that they can remarry. So there was a whole list of these agunas. Now you have to write a psak, but be accepted. If people won't accept the psak, then it won't help the woman to remarry because they're not going to accept it. He said, I'm not going to stop and I'm not going to rest till I get these shiny. Every suffix aguna after the Yom Kippur War, he paskin leheter and found a way for them to remarry. And that's what made him famous. So he took responsibility. There was a famous maisa. There was two groups of Sephardi guys, not religious, who were like in a gang war in some place. So Rav Avadya called them in, and he yelled at them in his get in. What are you guys? And he told me, you know, stop having this gang war. And he took responsibility when he heard about the problems. There are amazing stories. You should read this book. I'm telling you, you should read this book. It's if you read Hebrew, read Abir HaRoan. So far, the two volumes, it's even better. My Hebrew's not perfect, so I get 98% of whatever, most of it. Fabulous book. One story, then we'll stop. The story was not made famous till after he died. So when he was in his early 80s, he had a heart thing, and he needed a procedure done. So he asked the doctor, is it sakanas nefashos to have it right now, or can it wait 3 hours? So he said it can wait 3 hours. He said, okay. He went home, came back 3 hours later. So his kids asked him afterwards, what's this 3 hour thing? Now, you're in the hospital, you need a heart operation. He says, can he wait 3 hours? What happened? So Rav Avadya said, I'm in the middle of a tshuva about a woman who needs to remarry. And I'm not finished yet. And until I sign it, she can't remarry. I think I needed 3 hours to finish the tshuva and sign. In case I die in the operating room, I want to make sure that tshuva is finished. So he went home, finished the tshuva, and then came back to have the operation. What do you think? I have 3 hours left. What am I going to do in those 3 hours? What am I going to do? You know, you want to see your kids. You want to do this. Rav Adya had to go home to get his name on the bottom of the tshuva. So in case he didn't make it during the operation, that the woman can remarry. Like that type of story, that like exactly captures what he was like. And take responsibility. Something had to be done. Again, I only just scratched the surface. There are another 10,000 things to discuss about this. His jokes, very sharp jokes. And the slapping thing, you know, the whole slapping thing. He must have slapped 2 million people. I don't know. They must, he should add it up. 2.5 million people. He's like, yeah, there's a video, no? There's a video? There's a video somewhere. There's a video. So, who's going to slap Ravina? He slapped Ravina. It was a covered. It was a covered to get slapped. And there was a guy here. And he was, Raja was in good shape. There was a guy here, Michael Mizrahi, a couple years ago. So this Fardim always go to visit Rav Adya when they were here. So he said he came back, he was so excited. He said, what happened? He said, Rav Adya almost knocked me out. So he said, he always gives a right hand. He said, he gave me a slap. Baba, you mean? So I thought he was done. Bob is small, whack! I wasn't ready for the left hand. Whoa, and I was like staggered like that. He was so excited. He said, he's almost knocked me out. Because he, like, you know, he did one, and the second one he wasn't ready for. He said, Bobby, you mean? Bobby Small is a pasuk. Bobby Small, and he whacked him on the left, and thousands. Yeah. Oh, very good. Oh, wow. It's like Grossman got lucky, whatever. No. He's good. Now, Grossman's fine. Yeah, Rav Shakta spoke about it. He got the slap, and he started crying. He started tearing up when he said over the story. No, it's a covered. It's a covered to get that, it's like a love tap. And you know, it's a sign of affection. I'm not sure how it started, but thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people, you know, that he did that to, and he was so engrossed. Again, it all starts from the learning. The root is the learning. There are stories that he could get lost in learning. He hurt his back once because he broke his arm or broke his leg. He climbed up to get a sefer, and then he was learning, and then he forgot, and he got engrossed in the sefer. He forgot he was on a ladder. He stepped off, and he fell down. He forgot he was so engrossed in his learning, and things like that. So there's a famous maisa when Netanyahu came to visit him once. So Netanyahu walks in with his guys into his like learning room, and Rabbi didn't notice him for like 10-15 minutes. And everyone's taking pictures, and like, you know, and Netanyahu said, no, don't bother him till he finally looked up. You know, he was like, you know, like you're sitting there learning, and like the entourage walks in, right? And the entourage walks in, and he didn't notice them. And this is on video. Now, there's a video of the guys taking pictures, watching Rav Adya not notice anything around him because he's so engrossed in the learning. It's like there are a lot of stories about this, dozens of stories. Once he had to run away from a wedding. He left the wedding right after the chuppah. He left the wedding. So I have to go home to see my friends. Who are your friends? The Rashba, the Ritva, the Ramban. Ah, it's a classic line. Anyway, you should read the stories, read this book, and if your Hebrew is good, read Abir HaRoim. There's another one on our body that came out. I didn't read it yet. The other one. The stories are fabulous, and they're. Okay, there's more to say. We'll stop here. So that's Rav Avadya's friend. Have them in your house.